Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. I want to read this morning. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I like this about his presence. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, mercy, and love. Thankful that you've allowed us once again to assemble here in the New Testament Baptist Church. Truly, it is a privilege to be able to come together with the Lord's people that make this body, and to know that your presence and power is here in our midst. We've come to you on behalf of those this morning, perhaps that are sick and not able to be here. And then also for those that are not here, Lord, because of indifference or because of coldness of heart and lack of love. But we're thankful for each one that is here this morning in the service. We have those here that are not saved. We pray, Father, that it might please you this morning to do a work of grace in the hearts of these unbelievers, and that you would enable them to see their need of a Savior and to see the Lord Jesus Christ as that Savior. We're thankful for each one that's saved and that you've so graciously added to this church. And we're thankful for the ones that love you and love your word and are faithful to this church. Pray that your blessings would be upon us this morning as we go into the Word of God, and that you would enable us that we might, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, understand, and that we might be able to apply these things that you have for us. Pray for our meeting this week. We look forward to great anticipation to have Brother Pack preach to us each night, and then next Lord's Day. We pray that already that you have moved upon him and directed him to preach the Word of God, the very things that you would have us to hear, and that you've already, Lord, our purpose and plan to move in our hearts and move in our lives, and that the Holy Spirit would take the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit and would pierce the hearts of your people and would cause us, Lord, to see what our needs are, both physically and spiritually. We thank thee for men of God that love you and love the truth and that will follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We pray always that we would always be open to your will for our life and that we'd be receptive, Lord, to what you would have us to do, where you'd have us to go. We always are mindful, Lord, of your presence and power. And so now we just pray that you'd be pleased to bless us in service this morning. We need you in a special way. We need you physically, and we need you spiritually. And so, Father, we pray you'd be pleased to use us and that you'd receive the honor, the glory, and the praise. When we left here this morning, we leave here rejoicing in your goodness and grace. Now, Father, I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. In Christ's name, I ask it all. Amen. My subject this morning, I'm only going to use one thought from this verse. This verse 10 is a wonderful verse of scripture that we read many times when we're reading verse 8 and 9. And it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them." I'm going to only use one part of that scripture, and I want to preach on the subject, "We are his workmanship." Now, I realize in the context of what he's saying here, workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and also which God has ordained that we should walk in them. Now I'm going to try to use the part here and think basically of this part. We are his workmanship. Now, it's interesting when you take this verse and look at it. First of all, who are the subjects of his workmanship? Or who are the people of his workmanship? Well, we are. That's what he said. We are. We are his workmanship. And I believe that that ought to cause our hearts to rejoice that we can say, we are. Now, I can say, I am, but we can say collectively as a church of saved by the grace of God that we are his workmanship. Now, what needs to be understood, I think, in this from the natural sense, all of God's creatures are his workmanship. But now that's not what this text is talking about. We must understand that this text is not talking about all of God's creatures, but it's talking about we are his workmanship. So this is talking in a limited sense, some special blessings that God has for his people and those that he has saved that he does not have for other people, or other people will not receive. Now, there's several thoughts and basic ideas that are given to us in this passage of Scripture, but not only can we see the subjects of his workmanship is found here in verse 10, we are, but you can go back and you can read verse 1, 2, and 3 and also narrow it down as to who the subjects of his workmanship, who the we are is. It says here in verse 1, and you has he quickened. We could say the subjects of God's workmanship are the quickened ones. And you has he quickened. Now notice, and here was the condition of every one of God's subjects of his workmanship who were. Now that means past tense. That does not mean that you're in that condition now. You're still today just a sinner saved by grace, but there's a lot of difference in being a sinner saved by grace and a sinner dead in trespasses and sins. There's a tremendous difference. And so we see here not only we are the subjects of his workmanship, but the quickened ones are the subject of his workmanship. And you, and of course, we're going to talk about this also, have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And he goes into this a little bit and says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now notice, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now there's, and I believe that he's still talking about and defining and showing and differentiating between the subjects of his workmanship and the ones that are not subjects of his workmanship. There is the spirit that work in the children of disobedience, but there's also the spirit that worketh in his children. That is the children of God, which is the Holy Spirit. We know the prince of the power of the air, or the one that he's speaking of here, is the devil. And I'm reminded of what John said when he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so Paul is making it very clear to differentiate between the subjects of his workmanship and those that are not subjects of his workmanship, only in a natural way or in a natural sense. And so then he goes on in verse 3 and says, among whom, now notice also we, now remember we are, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we find that the subjects of his workmanship in verse 10 is we are, and then you can go back to 1, 2, and 3, and we can say, who were? We're not, but who were? Now, secondly, I'd like for us in our introduction to think about not only the subjects of his workmanship here in verse 10, but the author of this workmanship. Now, who is the author of this workmanship? Well, the author of it, God. Now, he said, if you're in this, his workmanship, the verse 10, denoting God, and it says in verse 1, he quickened, who is denoting also God, and showing us who the author of this workmanship is. Now, it is not man's work. Now, that needs to be clearly understood. I've tried the last few Sundays to show the difference between a man trying to work to be saved and God working and saving. And there is a tremendous difference, and I believe that this is even brought out here. The author of this workmanship is God. It's not man. Man is not the author of this workmanship. But God is the author of this workmanship. It is not the work of the ministry either. The work of the ministry is not the author of this workmanship. And we need to recognize that. The ministry doesn't bring about this workmanship. It's God that using the means brings about this workmanship. It's also not the work of angels that brings it about. It ought to be clearly understood that it is the work of God, because it says we are his workmanship. So let's clearly establish that before that we go any farther here. Now, I made it clear from the natural sense that God is the workmanship of all creatures, but not in the sense that he's talking of here in this passage of Scripture. Now, there's three things basically that I want us to write quickly to notice that we are his workmanship. First of all, salvation is a work wrought for his people. Now remember that. Salvation is a work wrought for his people. Now sometimes this work is ascribed to the Holy Spirit who regenerates. But it's still God's workmanship. And we need to understand that, and we need to recognize that. And so sometimes people say, well, it ain't God, it's the Holy Spirit. You can't separate God and the Holy Spirit. Because we see that even though sometimes this work in the Word of God is ascribed to the Holy Spirit who regenerates or who quickens and makes alive, but remember, it's still God's workmanship. Now sometimes this work is ascribed to the Son of God. For he said, who quickens whom he will. And that's what Jesus said about himself in recording the book of John. Now, sometimes this work is ascribed to God the Father, who reveals his Son and draws men to him. But it don't make any difference. The work of salvation is a work wrought for God's people, and whether it's done by the Holy Spirit, and whether it's done by the Son, or whether it's done by the God the Father, they're all three working together and in unity and in harmony on bringing this person to the place of where that they have an experience of grace, or they're saved by the grace of God. So, in essence, we could say that salvation is a work wrought for his people, and God is the workman, or God, there is the workmanship of God that brings it about. I reckon so. Let's go back to these familiar scriptures. And to show you John chapter 6. These ought to be getting becoming real familiar. We ought to be getting familiar with these. And it says, now notice, we're talking about salvation is a work wrought for his people. In other words, it's a work, salvation is a work that God has brought about for his people. And he has provided this salvation. And here, and this brings it out and shows it. No man can come to me. Amen. Now, and that's just a simple statement there. Except. Now there is an exception to that. You can say no man can come, and there's an exception. And here's the exception. Except the Father which has sent me, now Jesus is saying this, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So there can be no salvation apart from God. And salvation, God in salvation, God is the workmanship. He is the one. He is the one. And of course, this is he's the author of it. Man's not the author. And so he says, that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. And I'm going to tell you something that all of us saved know. And you're not going to wonder or you're not going to be in doubt about when God draws you. I mean, you're going to know when God draws you. I mean, there's no such thing as God drawing a person and them not knowing. You're going to know when God draws you. I mean, this salvation is wrong. Now look in verse 65, it said, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me. In other words, doesn't have the ability. Now here's how simple it is. There's so many things that are done today in the name of religion without God. And it's terrible. It's terrible. I tell you what, when a person dies, they don't go to no big lodge in the sky. I'm going to tell you that. Sacrilegious. And there ain't no man no potentate, and there ain't no man no sovereign. Now let's understand this. God is the sovereign. And I tell you, when we die, when a person dies, they either go to heaven or they go to hell. And man, and this salvation that God has provided for man is totally dependent upon God. God is the workmanship. Now look what he says in this. He says, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So what we see here is salvation is a work wrought for his people. Now go back to the third chapter of the book of John, and you'll see, I believe, verse 14 tells about how that God begins to work and this transpires. Now look with me in John 3:14 and notice and see what it says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, now look at this, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now why is it needful and necessary that Moses, as he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, why is it necessary that the Son of Man be lifted up? That means that the Son of Man is going to the cross of Calvary, and there he's going to die for the sins of his people. I'll tell you why. Go to the 12th chapter of the book of John and look with me there. Now we're talking about salvation. God is the workmanship. In John chapter 12, and look with me in verse 32. Now look at this. Now keep in mind John 6:44 and John 6:65. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And so we see this is the work or the drawing of God, God bringing men to salvation. Now I believe that when we see this, we are his workmanship. It causes us to go back and to know that salvation is a work that's wrought for God's people. Now, this manifests, and I believe what we've said already, manifests the distinguishing grace of God. Now, the grace of God is distinguishing. If you'll read here, and it brings it out here in Ephesians chapter 2, and shows you the distinguishing grace of God. Now, look at this verse here. And I've already read it, but I'll read it again. Maybe perhaps I haven't read this one, but I'll read this one here. Now look with me in verse 3. Now this is the distinguishing grace of God. Now we're talking about the workmanship of God in salvation. It says, among whom also we, we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God manifests in his workmanship, he manifests the distinguishing grace of God. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But what made the difference? God's grace. And only God's grace made the difference. So these who were by nature the children of wrath as others, that they should be his workmanship by the grace of God. Now this is mentioned, I believe, here in Ephesians 2, to show that salvation cannot be by any works by man, but it is by God's work that God hath wrought. Look in the 8th and 9th verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and he nails it down right here. and that not of yourselves. He nails it down, makes it ironclad. It is the gift of God, and he again puts it down, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then when he goes on and says, for we are his workmanship. So we see that salvation is a work wrought for his people. Now, since all of our works, now remember this, all of our works are wrought for us or in us. All of them. And we must remember this. No wonder when Paul was writing to Titus, and here's what he said in Titus chapter 3, and there in verse, this chapter, verse 5, he said, not by works of righteousness which we have done. He makes it very clear. He's bringing this out. Now remember, his workmanship, salvation, is a work wrought for his people. And all of our works are wrought for us or in us. That is, that are of any value, that are of any glory to God. Now, because not by our works of righteousness we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So in essence, what we're saying in this is that God is God that brings us salvation. Now, I can tell you this morning, and I can do it scripturally from the Word of God, and I do this, that if you will repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But I also know the only way you'll ever repent of your sins, and the only way that you'll ever trust Jesus Christ, is for God to bring that to you and to enable you to repent of your sins and to trust Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul said when he wrote to Timothy. Now we're talking about we are his workmanship. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and there in verse 9. Now the last word of verse 8 is God. Now look at verse 9. We're talking about we are his workmanship. We're talking about being a workmanship of God. Look what he says in verse 9. Who hath saved us? Who saved us? God. That's the word there. Notice. And called us with a holy calling. Who's called us with a holy calling? God called us with a holy calling. Now notice. Not according to our works. I tell you, the distinguishing mark in salvation is God's grace. There it is. It's the grace of God. It has nothing to do with you, and it has nothing to do with me. The distinguishing between the two is God's grace. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So it is God that brings this salvation. Now I know that God uses various means and ways that he brings this salvation about. And I recall about how God brought salvation to me. And I believe if you're saved this morning, you can remember how God brought salvation to you. Now, in John chapter 6 and there in verse 29, look at what Jesus said. He said, Jesus answered and said unto them. Now look. And this makes it very clear. This is the work of God. What? That ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So there's never been a person that's believed on Jesus Christ apart from it being a work of God. It is a work of God. In essence, we can say we are his workmanship. Now, we receive the salvation. And how thankful that I am. Now, the second thing that I want us to think about is not only is salvation a work wrought for his people. Now remember, it's a work wrought for his people. For them. And then God brings it to them. And then they receive that work that God has wrought for them. Now keep that in mind. But then secondly, sanctification. Now we are his workmanship, salvation. And when I think about salvation, I'm talking about regeneration or being born again in that aspect, because the other things I'm going to talk about are just other aspects of this salvation. But then, secondly, sanctification is a work wrought in his people. Now, salvation is a work wrought for them and brought to them, and then God enables them to receive it, but then sanctification is a work wrought in them, in His people. You must, because they've been saved by the grace of God. They've been regenerated. They've been born again. Now, the foundation of sanctification as a holy principle is laid by God in regeneration. That's where it's laid, right there in regeneration. It's a work that's done in them, that begins in them, and it begins when a person's regenerated, when they've been born again. So, in essence, think of that, we are His workmanship. And so, now we are chosen by God to holiness here and hereafter. Look at what Jude says. Jude verse 1. And you'll see here, I believe that Jude had this thought in mind, and he said this. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Now look. And then he goes on and puts another thing in here. It ain't no little thing. It's a big thing. And preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So you see here that we're chosen by God to holiness here and to holiness hereafter. Now, Christ the Son of God is said to be made to them sanctification in various scriptures. I believe. Now, remember, sanctification is a work wrought in His people. Now, we are His workmanship. I tell you, and this blessed my heart. I thought about this. Brother Richardson preached around this Monday night, and the Lord gave me the thought, and he preached the whole verse, but I just thought about an aspect, and there is that creed in Christ Jesus. There's that aspect of it. And then there's unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. But I thought about how glorious it is that this workmanship of God, what God's doing, His workmanship. I marvel. I can see someone take, I marvel at good workmanship. You know, it's hard to find it today. Good workmanship. I mean, somebody that really, we think about that, will really take pride in their job and do a good job and turn out a good product, something you don't have to reject. So, something like that. Good workmanship. And I marvel at God's workmanship. And it is a marvel when you look into the Word of God and see that we are His workmanship. Now this sanctification, of course, Christ the Son of God is said to be made to them sanctification. Two scriptures on this. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, and the other one is Hebrews 13 and verse 12. Now, when Paul was writing there, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, listen to what he said. He said, but of Him that is God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, notice, wisdom and righteousness and notice, sanctification and redemption. So sanctification is a work wrought in His people. Then when Paul said in Hebrews chapter 13 and there in verse 12, of Hebrews 13, he was talking about this same thing when he said, let us, in verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. But sanctification is also by the Holy Spirit of God. I thought about Paul when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he's talking about this, and he said there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, he said when he was talking about this sanctification that we had, he was talking about being sanctified holy. It's not that verse. I have it down wrong. But that's in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you holy. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe not only must we recognize that salvation is a work of God wrought for His people, but I believe that we need to recognize that sanctification is a work wrought of God in His people. Now, the first rise of it is in regeneration. That's where you'll first see it. In regeneration. It's not by the work of man either. And it's not by the will of man, even as regeneration is not. For none can say, I've made my heart clean. Or none can say, I have sanctified myself. Now, I've heard a lot of people say it. I've heard a lot of people stand up and labor the difference between the publican and the self-righteous man. But what they got to realize is that we're his workmanship. Brother, I'll tell you everything about it. If you're a better Christian today than you were when God saved you, praise God for it. Give God the glory. For it's God that worked this sanctification in you. We must recognize this, because even in this sanctification, the efficient cause of it is God. That's the cause, the efficient cause. Now, the moving cause of sanctification is God's love and God's grace and God's kindness. Now, that's the moving cause. The instrumental cause, or the means, is the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. But it's all a workmanship of God. But it's also an eternal work. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts. And that's why that we're progressively sanctified and set apart. Now, the reason that you love the Lord and love this church and are faithful to the Lord and faithful to this church is because God's worked that in your heart. And that's part of this sanctification. Now, some people still need a little bit more work done on them. But I realize that God has done some sanctifying here in the lives of some of the people that are members of the church. Look at these verses, Romans chapter 2. I want you to see this. Romans 2, and there in verse 8 and verse 9, it says this. Concerning Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. And I believe that this internal work. Now, look in that 7th chapter of Romans with me and look at verse 22 if you will please. And here's why Paul said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And there's that inward work that is done by Almighty God. And Peter said this when he was writing. He said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ointment of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. 1 Peter chapter 3 and there in verse 4. But now, this sanctification, that's the work wrought by God for his people, it affects the whole being. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It affects the whole being. There's not a part of you that this does not affect. But then the third thing that I want us to notice right quickly, and we are his workmanship. Now, salvation is a work of God wrought for his people, and sanctification is a work of God wrought in his people. But then glorification is a work of God wrought on his people. Now, the one work is for, the other is in, and the other is on them. I believe that all of this is conclusiveness. Man does not have the ability to change his vile body. He doesn't have the ability to bring up salvation. He doesn't have the ability to bring up sanctification. You know, so why do people boast about their form of salvation? Why do people stand up and boast about their form of sanctification? Man doesn't have that ability to, for that salvation to be brought to him. And only God can enable a man to receive that salvation that God has for him. And then it's only God that can work that sanctification in that person that has been redeemed by the grace of God. And it is only God that can bring about that final change of glorification. We don't have the ability to change this vile body. It can only be changed by creation power and resurrection power, which is the same, the power of God. Now, you may change the appearance. You can paint it up. You can change your hair. Or you can put a little paint on the outside. You still got the same old vial back. We can take a corpse and we can make it look real good. But it's still the same old vial back. Man does not have that power. He doesn't have that ability. And you can change that appearance, but the same old flesh remains full of sin and decay. It's the same old body, and it's the same old flesh. But I'll tell you how thankful I am for this thought here in Ephesians 2:10. Well, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Now here's part of the workmanship of God. Now, for many of us, point number one is past. That is the safe. For all the safe, point number two is present. And for all of us that are saved, point number three is yet future. And it's all God's workmanship. Now, Paul said this when he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and therein, verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, here's what he said. And we which are alive and remain, it's not the verse that I want. Let me get one up here a little bit more in this. I'll just read the whole thing and I'll get it that way. Can't see this right off. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, and the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven to shout with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Here's verse 17. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now go to Philippians chapter 3. And I think this is in the essence here. Two things transpired there in that passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter 3, and look with me in verse 21. Who shall change our vile body? And this is what's going to happen. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, man does not have the ability to make this change. But what we must remember is, salvation is a work wrought for God's people. Sanctification is a work wrought in God's people. And glorification is a work wrought on God's people. In essence, what I'm saying, we are his workmanship. Now, you're in Philippians 3:21. Turn back to chapter 1. Now, here it is. Here it is, complete. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the workmanship of God. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, salvation wrought is regeneration. Sanctification wrought is the transformation or the confirmation. And glorification wrought is translation, being exactly like him. In essence, we can say, as Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 2, we are his workmanship. I'm thankful this morning to be included in that we are. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're not in that. If you're here and not saved, you cannot say, we are his workmanship. But a lot of us here can say we are his workmanship. Now, in essence, the little chorus that the kids sang, God's still working on us. He's still working on me. And I know, as certainly as I know that I'm alive this morning, he's going to finish that work. The workmanship of God is a, I hate to say it, but a high quality. It's even beyond that. It's perfection. And we never see any work here that meets perfection. But the workmanship of God is perfection.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not saved this morning, you need to be. If you've never come to the place, or if God has never brought you to the place, let me say it that way. God has never brought you to the place to where you have seen yourself a sinner. I mean a sinner against God. A hell-deserving sinner. A sinner without hope. And if you've never been brought to that place, then that's where that you must be brought to by the power of God. And then at the same time, enable you not only to see your hopeless condition, but to also see that there is hope. And that hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when he brings you to that place, you repent of your sins and you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's that salvation that God has wrought for his people. And he brings it to them. And by the power of God and by the work of God, they receive that salvation.
Amen.
It's a salvation that God's wrought for you. And it's a salvation that's to be received. And so we pray this morning that this may be the very thing that God will do in your heart this moment.